The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I have a short word of exhortation that I want to give as we move on in the service here. And Max, I'm going to be speaking this word to you. I don't know if you want to come up, if you want to. Why don't you guys come up? You're so far in the back. Just sit up here in front so I can kind of make eyeball to eyeball with you. And but as I was pondering what we're going to be doing today, the Lord just really stirred something in my heart. I've known you for probably 10, 12, 14, I lose track of time. It's been a while. And it was before you were really recognized in the ministry. You were ministering, but it was before you were really kind of out there and doing your thing. And a lot of things have taken place in those last handfuls of years. And yet, I've always seen you as really a faithful guy. Somebody with a heart after God's own heart. And one of the things that we like to joke about is when we see each other, I'll say, I love you. And Max always say, well, I love you more. And then we have this argument, who loves who the most? But there really is a sense of honor today, the privilege of ordaining you as a body. And I know we all feel that. But here's a bit of a charge of a father to a son when Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, you're a young guy. Are you 30? I
know.
You're 30.
Yep.
So you're a year younger than Jesus, or you're about the same age Jesus was when he started, right? Okay, so now you can start your ministry, right? Anybody who knows Max knows he's been running long and hard for a long time. But I love how a young man can be an example to the believers. And that as I have observed your conduct, and I do observe people's conduct. I don't say a lot, but I observe. I'm kind of a people observer. And I love to observe, and when I see people getting it right, I'm going inside, I'm going, yes, you know, this is, there's somebody that is out of conviction, out of a touch by the Holy Spirit, is doing something, serving in an incredible way. There's six areas here that it says that you should be an example to the believers. This is anybody that's called in ministry. Actually, this should be anybody who's called by the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The charge is for you today, but this is not for leaders only. This is for the body of Christ. That in word, the way we talk, the things we say, that we are called to bring life. You have always brought life. I've never heard you speak bad about anybody. I never have. I've never heard you complain. You've had some stuff in your life that's been a little bit hard, but I've never heard you complain. Your words have always been edifying. Your conduct has always been stellar as far as I can see. Now, I don't know behind the scenes. You're over on the other side of the world, but I get reports, you know. And I know that your conduct is that exemplifies the love that you have, that you're an example of a man who loves and loves well. In the spirit, you're a man of the spirit. Anybody who says, I just love fasting, you got to be a man of the Spirit, because I don't get that. But I know that you're a man of the Spirit. But in faith, I've seen your faith and I've seen your purity. I've seen you do things right. So your example to the believers is one of the reasons that we can in confidence ordain you today. That we can get behind what you're doing and who you're being. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That's your ministry. The first thing is your example to all people, all men. But the second one is how you have handled yourself in ministry. And I've seen you exhort. I have seen you be faithful to the Word of God. I've seen you preach and teach. I've seen your teaching gift, your preaching gift grow over the years. But you are one that is very concerned about the things that you say, about the way that you handle this thing called the ministry. You're very careful about that. Very important. I've observed that. I've seen that in you. Do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. I have seen you walk in gifts. I don't know if you've ever had anybody lay hands on you and impart gifts. Today we are going to lay hands on you, and there's going to be impartation. There's going to be prophetic utterances. There's going to be things that are released. It's not going to change who you are, but I believe there's going to be a wind of the Spirit at your back, and that you're going to have some things to take hold of here this morning. Verse 15 says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That's really talking about the secret place. I know by the Spirit you have a secret place encounter with the Lord. I know that the evidence that is in your life, the fruit that's in your life, comes from an intimate walk with Jesus. So while you have an example to the believers and you've got a faithfulness to the ministry, the most important thing is how you maintain this intimacy with Jesus, how you come into his presence, how you love on him and allow yourself to be loved by him. That's really the foundation for all the other things. And I want to encourage you, as somebody who's walked this way a little while, there are times I lose track of that. Sometimes the vision gets almost too important. Sometimes life gets too important. Sometimes the trials get a little bit weary. Where I find rest is when I come back to what's really important. Because first and foremost, you're a son. Before anything, before all the other stuff, before being an example, before being a minister, you're a son of the Most High God. You're a lover of Jesus. And you're a bridegroom who loves you as a bride. And I know that's kind of weird, but he does. There's that kind of intimacy. And the fruitfulness of your life is going to be coming from that. Now, we come alongside and we lay hands on, we encourage, we endorse. You have so many people that encourage you. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, that's it. That's it. So I asked Pastor Bob if he would lead us in this ordination. I want to ask, we're going to be releasing some prophetic words. In a body this large, a lot of you are going to have prophetic words. Could I encourage you that would you just write them down and give them to Max and Amanda afterwards? We just don't have time for everybody to have prophetic words. I've called a couple of people up. We're bringing a couple of people up that are very... have a prophetic gift, and we're going to lay hands on. There's going to be prophetic flow. So please, if you in the congregation have a prophetic word, please just write it down. It is important, and give it to them a little later. So Bob, come on up.
Thank you, Dave. Well, Max, the reality is there's nothing that anybody can add to you. You are what you are by the grace of God, you and Amanda together. But the reality is we can come alongside and agree with who you are and what God is doing in your life and partner with you in prayer. In many ways, what we're doing here today is releasing the power of agreement. And we are agreeing with God, which is always a good idea. And we are agreeing with the call on your life. And we are endorsing it because we see it. I'm going to ask if the elders and wives will come up. I'm going to ask if Wayne and Mary Hedlund will come up. And I'm going to ask if Luke will come up. And just, yes, that would be good.
And Alice.
And Alice, yep. And somebody, yeah, please bring another one. Just for scriptural understanding, what those who just came up is what the Bible calls a presbytery. It is a gathering of leaders. It's mentioned in the book of Timothy when Paul exhorts Timothy to wage a good warfare and to honor the word that was imparted to him by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Come on up, folks. This is a presbytery. Very simple. Leaders. Where's Mary and Wayne? You two stand together. I want to honor and give honor where honor is due. These two have been sowing into Max's life and eventually Max and Amanda's life for many years. And in many ways, this is fruit, your fruit. And we just want to acknowledge that and commend you for the faithfulness in which you have parented this young lad. Yes. And been there, and I know there's been others. That's not the point. The point is you have been there, and I want to commend you for that and who you are in Ukraine, but also who you are in this house. So thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Come on, bring it on. So, Max, we as elders of Living Waters Church, after observing your faithful service, your character, and the fruit of your ministry over many years, choose to commission you as an apostle to your church, to your city, to the nations, and beyond. We ask you in the presence of God and this assembly, are you willing to accept this commissioning? Yes, by the grace of God. That was Ukrainian. Will you be subject to the Father in heaven who loves you as he loves his own son? Will you be subject to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who laid down his life for you? And will you be subject to the Holy Spirit given to you to lead you into all truth?
Yes, by the grace of God.
Are you willing to be accountable to us as a leadership team, as those who are called by the Lord to care for you and co-labor with you in the work of the kingdom?
Yes, by the grace of God.
And finally, will you do all this in conformity with the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit and for the glory of God? Max, having made these declarations, we as the elders of Living Waters Church and this presbytery that's gathered around you do commission you as an apostle for the Church of Jesus Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We charge you as fellow servants of Christ who are committed to care for you and to co-labor with you. We exhort you to be strong and have good courage. Show yourself as a pattern of godliness, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry of Christ be not blamed. We declare the commissioning of an apostle for the purpose of the work of the ministry.
Yeah, I release that.
We just release it in Jesus' name. An unction from Father. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This is a little crazy, but I have more of a word for Amanda than you. and I have this sense that, you know, the anointing, of course, we know you're anointed man of God, and we're commissioning you. We know God's doing something in the Spirit. But there's a twosome here today. It's a double whammy, yes. And God is doing something deep in you, Amanda. And we're going to see a new boldness come out of you and a new fire that we've never seen before. God's going to there's something stirring. Maybe you feel it already. But the Lord is doing something deep in you. I mean, He needs you, and you know that. And we know that. He needs you in his life. But there's this godly, anointed woman of God with holy fervor. There's a preaching voice in you that hasn't come out yet to the fullest. And it's going to start to come out. And it's going to even amaze you. You're going to be preaching, go, wow, wow. It's going to flow like a river. And you know, I know in times past, he's seen miracles as he's preached. you're going to see the same thing. There's going to be people healed as you give words. And it'll be very, you may be just talking about something. And it'll be so unreligious. And all of a sudden, someone will say, I just got healed. So I just want to bless you with that. This is a couple. There's as a couple, you are being just doused with the fire of God. Amen.
I gave a part of this word to you years ago now, but you know, Joshua was commissioned to bring the tribes of Israel into their physical land, into their physical inheritance. And God's commissioning you to bring the bride into her inheritance in Christ. You know, it's the kingdom inheritance, but it's very similar. I mean, it's a similar commissioning that God gave Joshua as he's giving you, because you've got a tribe back there. And it's not just you two alone. It's the tribe that you've been preparing. It's going to go into all of the Ukraine. So I'm going to read this from the book of Joshua. It's a powerful commission that God spoke over him. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Think of it in spiritual terms. Think of it as kingdom terms. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I know your love of the word, and how important that's going to be in these days to come, meditating on it. Here, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, I just thank you for I thank you for the strength that you've given this couple. I thank you that they don't regard themselves as anything in your sight, but they regard your presence as everything in their lives. And Father, I thank you that they can go into the area that you've called them to, and the kingdom of God shall be manifest, Father. And the bride of Christ will be glorified, and the bride of Christ will be prepared through them, Father.
Max, the Lord gave me a good word for you this morning. He says for the both of you, he's releasing the anointing of Hezekiah within you, in that you are a reformer. And that he's stirred this up in the past, and he's continuing to stir it up within you now. Well, some would say you should zig, but in your feeler, you know you should zag. And some would say, turn it down just a little bit. Turn it down just a little bit and you'll win more. But you know you need to turn it up, because I've told you, you need to turn it up. It's because I'm calling my bride. You're going to be an integral part to bringing my bride back to me. You're an integral part, Max. All I want to do this morning is I want to lay hands on you guys and just release fire. So,
Fire of God, come now. Fires, fires, fire of God, come. Fire, release. Come fire. Burn with me.
I would say to you today that these, my precious children, are surely accomplishing my will. For today, I am changing your position. You have willingly taken upon you my yoke, and you have been trained well by my yoke. Though there's been chafing and even open wounds, you have been trained well by my yoke. This day, I'm removing that yoke. Because you've been trained well to carry the king, you are now a royal steed to carry the king, to carry me into places that I want to go. It is no longer you. It is no longer you. You are carrying me, and people are going to see me. I am going to be able to freely live my life through you. I am going to be able to love through you. I'm going to be able to do my miracles, my works through you, and you will feel like you're not even doing it. And you will be riding, I will be riding upon you, and we will go into the battle together. We will be going into victory together. It will always be victory, but the thing that I'm going to anoint you with today is the revelation and the spirit of total victory. You will be convinced that you are living in victory, in my victory, and that I will accomplish all. You will no longer see the problems and all of the things of the earth, but you will only see me riding upon you in total victory. You have had a season of sharing my sufferings, but you are now entering into a season of the power of my resurrection in your life. So today, be assured this grace is falling upon you, and see in your mind's eye your king riding upon your back.
Amen. During worship, the Lord gave me two words for you two. First one is the mantle, the second one is the word. When there is an advancement, when there is a promotion in the kingdom of God, sometimes we say there's a new mantle or a greater mantle that comes upon you. And a mantle in the natural is a cloak, a robe, a cape, something like that. But I saw from heaven what was coming down for you was a vest. And it was a vest made out of steel mesh. It was a form of armor. And as you put that vest on, I could see the detail. And for me, it was a picture with greater detail than I usually see. That vest sparkled. The steel mesh in it that protected you sparkled. It was brilliant. I'm going to touch you here. And on your left was a beautiful nameplate. And under that nameplate, there was a medal hanging. And on that nameplate, it said, Valiant Warrior. God looks at you as you work in his kingdom as a valiant warrior. On the other side, there was a ruby. And that ruby was shaped like a heart. And engraved on that heart was God's love. Some of the other trim was, there was blue jewels or something around the arms and around the neck and down the front. What God was saying to me in that is that he sees you as a valiant warrior in his kingdom, motivated by his love to minister to the dear ones. The dear ones. The dear ones to his heart and your heart in the Ukraine and around the world. The word for the two of you is great and mighty. Not that you're going to be great and mighty. You two are so humble. But God's going to do great and mighty things through you. Scripture tells us as the apostles went out and spread the gospel, they preached the word, and what happened afterwards? Signs and wonders, miracles happen. God wants to show his great and mighty character and power through the two of you, and you are a co-apostle. Don't doubt it for a moment. And as you two preach the word, share the love of God, the signs and the wonders are going to be there. I guarantee it because God said so. Bless you too.
I felt like the Lord showed me that this is a time that he's doing a new thing regarding healing. And God, ever since I've been connected with Ukraine, I've seen really sensational, amazing things, supernatural things, babies raised from the dead, people who were never going to get out of the hospital got out of the hospital. And I feel like the Lord says he's bringing a shift. And of course, this is dear to my heart, so I had to stand up there and sort this out, that this wasn't just my thinking, but this is what I felt like the Lord said. Felt like the Lord said, yeah, there's still going to be sensational things. There's still going to be amazing things because people there need that punch, that wow, to be drawn to the Lord we love. But I feel like that this is a season that's been coming in increments, but is getting bigger and bigger, where the Lord is much more interested in healing hearts and emotions and the heart and the emotion of the nation of Ukraine, for that that orphan spirit to be dealt with, for that orphan spirit to be killed off, and for people to really grasp this. Yes, that's wonderful when people get healed in their bodies. Yes, that's wonderful when they get finances and all that sort of thing. But this is something that God is going to do to make it stick for generations, that it's going to change the nation. And part of apostle is the sending ones, and this is being sent further than Ukraine. It's being sent further than Ukraine. So yeah, there's still going to be sensational things. We all love some sensational things. But it's going to begin to be a time where some of the best testimonies are going to be. And this is for some of your ministers too, because I know some of those, that they have finally abandoned their orphaned hearts and have embraced sonship. And then it sticks, and because it sticks for them, that it changes your team, it changes your church, it changes that city, that nation, and everywhere that they are touched. You know, you've sent off people. You've sent off people all around the world. And this is more important than the physical healing. This is a healing of the heart of that nation. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think I got this right.
Jesse's watching there. I heard a couple of things as we were praying. The first is longevity, that there's longevity on your life, Max. That there is, you have a long life to live. I was thinking in the 90s, but, I was hearing that. And the other thing that I was hearing is, that I couldn't get away from your feet. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. You're being sent. Your locality will always be True Hope, Church of Truth, that ministry. But you're going to be being sent out from there. In fact, that body is going to learn how to send you, how to actually be a wind at your back to be sent. And I'm seeing you walking through the hamlets, and I'm seeing you walking through the roads and the sidewalks in different cities, both urban and suburban or rural. And that as you're going, there's seeds that are falling. And one of the key seeds that you will be releasing is the seed of unity and love for one another. That's going to earmark your ministry. And you're going to be doing this for a long, long time. It's going to take different shapes and different forms throughout your life. There's going to be people that are going to come, and there are going to be people that are going to go. But they're going to be touched by the seed of love. You will deposit. Both of you will be depositing seeds wherever you go. And Amanda, boy. Grace that's on your life that I have come to know. Last time I went there, and Max had ditched us, you know. And you took care of us. And the authority, it was easy to submit to your authority. It was easy for me to submit to what you wanted to do and the handle that you had on the body there. And so I just want to encourage you that there is a coming together more and more and more and more of your ministry. There's a supernatural kind of speeding up of a unity in the spirit. And it's because you're both willing to do that. But there is an anointing that is going to be on your marriage that is going to heal broken marriages that are in Ukraine. You know the expanse of that in Ukraine. And so there's something on you guys that is, it's anointing. It's going to be something, again, like a seed that you're going to plant and just see how a couple can walk together in love with one another in marriage, but also in ministry together, this thing called ministry that God is changing the face on. So with that, we are going to send you... If the body, let's all stretch hands.
Yeah, stretch your hands out.
Stretch your hands towards Max and Amanda. So in the name of Jesus, we send you with a blessing on this house.
Yes, we agree. House.
We send you into the nations. We release a wind at your back. And we release favor upon you. And we release not so much a covering, Jesus is your covering, as much as a foundation, a launching pad, that you will go further than this church has gone. You'll go further than I've gone. You're going to be launched into your future. And we bless you. We joyfully send you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we agree as a house? Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I just want to put a little bit of frosting on the top of all this, especially with Dave talking about ministry. 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to unite these two in marriage, and today is their wedding anniversary, their second-year anniversary.
Didn't know that. Awesome. Congratulations.
Amen. 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 Just a reminder of the reception tonight at 6. Come and celebrate, and then Max will be preaching as
Sorry.
Well. Bless you.
Well, Max, you really married up. All right. Wow. That's fun. I'm just not quite sure what I want to do yet. I've got a couple of different directions I can go, and Jesus help. Okay. I feel like because we're such a... What I wanted to do and what I was prepared to do was to kind of finish up our series that we've been doing throughout the month. As a church, we have shifted things up a little bit, and we have a theme each month, and we'll be preaching from three different perspectives. Bob will preach the first week, and Renee will preach the second week, and I'll follow up on the third week. And we want to stay on that same theme. And the theme that we have been on is we're going to grow in our ability to love God and to love people. That we're growing in that. And we use the first or the greatest command to love God and love people with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So we just want to cap that. We want to... say, I believe that there has been an impartation. Does anybody find yourself with a greater ability to love God and to be loved by God than you did at the beginning of the month? Yeah. Has anybody felt a greater unction to love people than you did at the beginning of the month? Yes. You see, we believe that when we preach and when we teach these things, that it gives an impartation and an invitation into something. All of the promises of God, all the prophetic words of God, everything that we have from God, it's really an invitation into a process. That it's an invitation to partake and to walk alongside of Jesus in those things. And I love those invitations. But I just feel to go a little bit different because we're people that are people that aren't here or haven't been here for a long time, you might be scratching your head and be saying, what in the world did we do just recognizing Max as an apostle? Some of us have been taught, some of us were taught that the apostles passed away with the originals and that there's no more apostles and all that. So I just want to address that a little bit this morning. For our sake, but also just to really give a validity to why we do what we do. And really, my heart for 40 years of knowing Jesus, I mean, it's like my heart has always had an attraction to kingdom government. I remember when I went to Ukraine the last time and I was going to teach on kingdom government, I was very aware in my spirit that to talk about government for them, I had to be very, very careful, because the government there is corrupt. And in America, sometimes when we want to talk about government, because of the failure of government, we want to stay away from government. The thing of it is, the kingdom has a government, and it has a king. And the king has ordained those to administrate his kingdom. He has left it in the hands of men. And there is a flow of kingdom government that I believe when we get this right, when the jealousies are broken, when we don't have evangelists trying to be pastors because that's the only position that pays, or we don't have a pastor trying to be a prophet, or all the fighting that goes on between that, when we get this, when we understand this, then we are going to be able to walk in a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I have come to learn how much I need people that see life, that see the kingdom from a different lens piece than what I carry. And it really is this thing of love and honor that makes it all work. It's, you know, how many remember, I mean, I've been at this stuff for about 40 years, and I remember the days when you didn't really honor the prophet, because the prophet was like the mean Uncle Bob that would come in to your house, chastise everybody, chew them out for not being spiritual enough, and then dance off into the sunset, and then the pastor is left with a mess. And what do we do with this? Or we'd have the evangelists that would chew us out all the time because we're not out there. We're not out doing the stuff. And we'd have the pastor who is so protective of the flock. The thing it is, they were required to do everything and be everything. And it's like, I tell you, one of the reasons that I argued with God why I didn't feel I was qualified to be a pastor was because I just saw the things I couldn't do. I mean, literally, it's kind of funny, but the fact that I can't do all the stuff that pastors do has actually been my strength. My weakness has been my strength, because that has just caused a lot of other people to flourish, and I love it, you know. But when we understand that there is a flow of kingdom government, that there is an order for kingdom government, then the blessings and the riches and the dynamics of the kingdom can flow. And so what we're doing, we just want to position ourselves under a spout of the flow of kingdom government. So Ephesians chapter 4, and we all know this, but it starts in verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. See, when we talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we're not really talking, we are talking about a gift, but it's actually a grace gift. It's not something that, well, I just decided, you know, I'm going to be a pastor. So I'll go to school, I'll go to the cemetery, and they can teach me everything they know about dying, right? And I'm going to be a pastor. And it becomes a vocation, it becomes a job, it becomes a career. One of the things I have really resisted is the fact that this is not my career. Pastoring is not my career. It's a holy call. It's a privilege. It's something that God has given me a grace gift for. And when we start to see that God has graced different people differently, where's the arrogance? Where's the pride? I mean, who do we think we are to set Max in as an apostle? I mean, aren't the apostles the top of the heap? I mean, aren't they at the top of everything? And how can we set Max in as an apostle? When you understand that it's a grace gift, that it is an anointing and a calling from the King, and it's something that he wants to set in government, because the King is longing to let everything that's in heaven flow to the planet. But I tell you, the jealousies and the envies and the bickerings and the division that's in the body of Christ, it's made for a pretty lousy funnel. But I believe that we are in a season where God is resurrecting the gifts, not for the purpose of that we can have more titles. A title, my title is pastor, it's a lousy place to do ministry from. That's why in this house you got about 120 pastors sitting around usually on a given Sunday, because they can minister to people out of relationship better than I can out of position. And when you have a flow of government, there's no jealousy in that. I sincerely long to see people go way beyond where I have ever been. And I hope they do it while I'm here. I hope they do it while I'm in, as long as God calls me to pastor this house. I hope that there's people going way beyond anything. There are people going way beyond anything that I've ever done. I've seen a few of them here. But this is a grace gift. Now he ascended. What does it mean by descended? Let's move on to verse 11. And he himself, who? Jesus. Jesus, he himself. We didn't give this gift to Max. See, it's careful to say that while we were the ordaining church, it's probably more important to say that the ordination came from on high. And we just happen to observe and watch, and through relationship, come through a process of time where we said, we can get behind that. We can get behind what's going on there. We believe one of the foremost dynamics of ministry is that it has to take place out of relationship. So if we have people coming off the street, or somebody I don't know real well, somebody that we haven't observed their lifestyle, and we haven't been seen a willingness to relate, I don't know that I won't ordain them. Because it's not a matter of setting somebody in a hierarchical place. It's about setting people into a relational dynamic that everything takes place from. So when Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, the fivefold ministry is what we call it. It's why. Why did he do that? Why did he have to give those grace governors, if you will? It was not verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If I'm a fivefold ministry pastor, which I am a fivefold ministry pastor, my job isn't to do all the work. My job is to equip the body to do the works of the ministry. Yep. My job, I've often said that I don't measure success by how many people are sitting in the seats. I don't measure whether, you know, people are tearing down the doors to get in. That's not the measure of success to me. The measure of success to me is, are the sheep putting on wool? And are they putting on meat? And are they loving one another? Are they pastoring one another? Is there a relational dynamic that has been released in us as a body where we actually can build one another up in love? See, I think it's a lousy measure to think that because there's a lot of money, a lot of numbers, that we're doing something right. It can be, and I'm not judging anybody else. I'm saying for me and my house, this thing of relationship has got to be intact. And so it's for the equipping of the saints. so that they can do the work of the ministry. It's about edifying, building up the body of Christ. How long is that supposed to happen? Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many would say we've arrived? How many would say we still need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? We aren't seeing that yet. But that's the goal. That's the goal. That the goal of this is that there'd be a unity of the faith. That doesn't mean that we all believe alike, or it doesn't mean that we all see through the same lens piece. Bob and I see through a different lens piece. The unity of faith comes when I honor and respect and value the lens piece that Bob carries, or Henry, or Leslie. When I can honor and value the fact that they see things that I don't see, I can give my faith into that. Wow, God, we're broadening our base here. It's not based on what Pastor Dave can do. See, we are building team where there's honor and there's respect for one another. There's a sincere love. And not only that, but we value. We don't just put up with people that are different than us. I'm working past it, I know. There's a process here. But we don't just put up with people, but we sincerely value people that see differently than we do. One of the things that just tickles me is we were in a staff meeting here a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the leadership council meeting, and I'm the one that leads the leadership council meeting. And would you believe that Debbie Christofferson had the audacity to tell me that that meeting was boring? It didn't come out quite like that, but almost. Not quite like that. But the fact that she was seeing a need that I was blind to. And, of course, Renee was right there to jump on the bandwagon. But I'll tell you what, I loved it. I loved it because I knew I was bored with those meetings. I was glad somebody else was willing to take and do something with it. And so we're in the process of redoing some things there. But it's because somebody had a different lens piece to see things through. And that by the grace of God, I said, yeah, we need that. My lens piece is not working in this situation. Maybe it worked for a season, but things have moved on, things have shifted, and we need another lens piece into this situation. See, that's the beauty of people with different grace gifts. Well, how many know that one of the most irritating things in a marriage is how different you are? You know, we're drawn. Opposites attract, right? Opposites attract, and then once those have been attracted, it seems like the irritants of how different they are, you know, is the thing that really puts the burr under their saddle. You know, the guy says, oh, she's amazing. I can just talk with her. She just always is talking and brings out the life in me. And she's going, yeah, and oh, I love him. He's the strong, silent type, you know. And then they get married. And it's like, she's always talking. She never shuts up. He won't talk to me. You know, and that happens in church, doesn't it? Doesn't it? The people that we're connected to, the modus of operandum has been, well, I feel called to this church. By golly, I'm called to this church. Yep, I'm part of this church. Until somebody disagrees with me. Until I've been offended. Until I've been hurt. And then I don't need to belong to this church. I'll find another church that I'm going to belong to. And we're violating the very principles of love, honor, and respect that the church is supposed to be famous for. So first, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We need every lens piece that we can see through. And the local, I believe those are extra local, actually. I don't know if I should go there or not. Probably not. But I believe that the greatest authority in a house is the elders. So the local authority of elders and deacons, I'm in this house because I have a delegated authority by the men and women that are leaders in this house that have given me that authority. Now, you got to understand, I'm surrounded by a bunch of great men and women. They're just incredible. And they don't control me because I have seen elder boards where they've controlled the pastor. And that just doesn't work either. They give me full liberty to even make mistakes and screw up as long as I clean them up. And so we've got this funnel of blessing from the kingdom that God wants to pour through. And it's an order, it's a kingdom order that somehow we figured that we had arrived, that we had become to this place of unity, the measure of the fullness of Christ, and that we have been edified enough, and now we no longer need all of these different lens pieces. Or maybe we want to say, well, the emphasis in this church is really pastoral, therefore we don't need all this prophetic stuff. We don't need the evangelist. No, our house, we're just so pastoral. We love each other. We just kumbaya together all the time. And we're so warm and fuzzy. And everybody gets their needs met. And we don't want somebody like an evangelist coming in and putting a burr under their saddles. Well, we don't want a prophet coming in. Or those apostles, those guys that are so driven. Do they even love people? You know, and so this thing of church government is so critically important. It has been restored, by the way. It's not just happening here. It's happening across the world. It's happening in our nation. We're seeing that when man has taken control of the church, we have really failed. We have really blown it. When we have our ideas and our parameters and our agendas, that it's nothing but, it doesn't work life. It can look like it has life. It can look really flowery on the outside. Jesus addressed some people that looked like they had it all going. He said, inside you're full of dead man's bones. Those types of scriptures scare me, by the way. Because I know that I'm not beyond having a good appearance on the outside. And yet being full of all sorts of stuff. I'm not beyond that. That's why I need people around me. That's why I need leaders around me. That's why I need my wife. They're not always people that bring a pleasant word, but they're people that bring truth. And I tell you, the church has got to get back to embracing and loving truth. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, ministry leaders. The foundation has to be love, has to be honor, has to be respect. So when we ordain somebody as an apostle, let me tell you, that's been about a 2-year process. Right, Max? When did we first start talking? About a year and a half ago? Where I started really seeing that the call on your life was very apostolic. An apostolic guy is concerned about stuff that comes from heaven. They know how to read a blueprint. Their passion is building. And that's all what Max has been doing. But there's been a process that we've gone through. Why? Because it's really, at the end of the day, it's about relationship, and it's about giving ourselves to a process that yields a finished result. Process is so important in all of these things. Let's stand together. I want to remind you to come on out tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll have some refreshments, some goodies. 7 o'clock, Max will be preaching. Max and Amanda, both, one or the other. That's up to them in their marriage to work that all out. We'll have some teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, if you need healing, encouragement, if there's just stuff that you're battling, come on up. They are going to release the love of God and just see things move in your lives. There's coffee out in the lobby. Just love on one another. Give somebody a hug. Love on each other. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the, Lord, just the truth of your kingdom. And God, that it doesn't have to have some kind of a fancy terminology or titles and all that stuff, God, but it is really about people just being who you've created them to be. And Father, we thank you that you have created each one so uniquely different from one another. God, I pray that you would just shower a love for people that are different than us, people that see things differently than us. In our marriage, in our workplaces, God, in the church. Father, we want to thank you for the wisdom of your ways that supersede all a man's ideas and abilities. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug, and we'll see you tonight.